Good morning once again. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Warm greetings from Calvary Pandan BP Church in Singapore. It is always a privilege and an honor to share God's word with God's people. And this morning, we shall focus on a very, very ominous topic. It's about battle, the real battle. How we look at our lives and how we look at this world determine how we live. If we see this world as a playground and not a battleground, we will be very relaxed. We will probably be smiling, chit-chatting, and we will usually be eating and drinking and celebrating because we are in the playground. And this is what we usually observe when we look at the helpers who are supposed to be the guardians of little children playing in the playground. The equipment is safe. There are no sharp corners. They're designed to be safe. If they fall, it's either on soft sand or on some rubbery, bouncy surface. That the worst that they could happen to them if they were to fall would be maybe a slight scratch, knee or an elbow. But that's about it. And so everyone around there is pretty relaxed. And the people who are supposed to be caregivers, they will know they don't have to be on guard. They will be smiling, or they'll be playing with their phone, or they'll be chit-chatting. And once in a while, they may glance up and see whether they are little one that they are supposed to look after, whether they are okay. But that's about it. And they will spend their entire time throughout the child's play in the playground in a very relaxed mode, entering the playground, knowing that at the end of their half an hour or an hour, they will be able to fetch the child and bring the child home safely. And parents who entrust their beloved child to these helpers would also be very relaxed. Oh, mom, sir, we are bringing your son, your daughter down to the playground. Okay, come back by this time. That's it. They do not have any worry that they might get injured. They might not come back safe from the playground. Of course, there could be terrible, serious accidents, one out of a thousand perhaps. And then when they get the news that the child had been hurt, they would be shocked. They would be traumatized because they never expected such a thing. But ask parents, wives, children, whose sons and fathers have gone into the battlefield. Every moment of every day, they are in anticipation. They do not want to receive a knock on their door day or night. And when they open it, there are some men in uniform looking at you in a very, very somber manner, with a demeanor not of good news, but of bad news, that your son, your husband, your father has been killed in action. There's a world of difference how we look at our world, and in turn, how you're going to look at yourself. So when you go to school, when you go to work, when you wake up every morning, when you stay home, how do you see your home? How do you see your school? How do you see your workplaces? How do you see the church? The church is supposed to be one of the safest places on earth where Christ is head. Our homes are supposed to be one of the safest places as well, maybe even safer than our churches because it's only a small number of people. And the head of the family, in a way, is in total absolute control. You control when to switch on and switch off the television, when to switch on and switch off the Wi-Fi, if you ever turn it off at all. What comes into your home, you basically decide as the head of the house. And if you see it as just simply a playground, you will allow anything and everything to come in. likewise the church, likewise your school, likewise your workplace. But the moment you recognize that they are all battlegrounds, each and every one of them, your whole attitude will be different. You will be different. You will look at people in these places differently. And that is what the Apostle Paul, while he was in prison, wanted the Christians in Ephesus to realize. I am in prison. Paul knew that, and you can see that in the responsive reading. When he said in verse 20, which I am an ambassador in bonds. But Paul understood that he may be chained to some Roman soldiers or under house arrest with Roman soldiers guarding his home, where he could not have the freedom to walk in and walk out, and people who wanted to visit him could not do so freely according to his own desire. They have to go through the soldiers who kept him safe or kept him in house arrest. It has always been these restrictions, these limitations that may awaken us to the reality that this is not a playground, but a battleground. And so we have to realize and understand that if this world is a battleground, and it is, who are the real soldiers? Who are the real soldiers? There are two types. Two types of real soldiers. One, they fight for their general, and their general is the God of this world. The other, they fight for another general, the Lord Jesus Christ. So which army do you belong to? I belong to my own. There's no such thing as you belong to your own army. It doesn't exist. How is that the case, you may argue and reason? Because you are born in sin. We are all born in sin. And the moment we are born in sin, we already have the characteristics of the soldier of the God of this world, the devil. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In the moment you are old enough to understand the difference between the right hand and the left hand, you begin to understand the call and the pull and the attraction that the God of this world is offering you. Because of the lusts that are in you and the pride of life, he will begin to train you. He will begin to equip you with his weapons. And he will use the school. He will use the mass media. He will use everything that is at his disposal in this world, because he is the God of this world. And you and I know that as the God of this world is filled with a lot of seductive weaponry. And you and I are already born to this world that have this inclination to succumb. You know that. You and I experience that. We all have tasted how delicious sin can be. We all understand what's it like, for example, to promote self. And when our errors are pointed out to us, when our weaknesses are pointed out to us, even as believers, you and I will immediately rise to the desire to justify ourselves, to hold on to our image of goodness. We'll try to defend ourselves and find excuses to justify why I'm late and why I'm doing this and why I'm slothful in that. Because no one wants to be seen as weak, as having made a terrible mistake in this area. And we need to repent and apologize. Oh, we struggle to do that even as children of God. Therefore, we understand that before salvation, we all belong to that army, the soldier of the devil. He trained us. He equips us. He controls us. He controls our mind. He controls our hearts. He controls our words, our action, every part of us. He controlled. He controlled the whole school system, whether it's in Singapore or Australia, it does not matter. The ministers who serve in those countries, they're all his hands, his mouth, his feet. They do his bidding, but they are not aware of it. They don't have to be aware of it, that they are doing his bidding. That is why it is so powerful. so potent because these individuals are absolutely sincere in what they are trying to push. And they really sincerely believe that it will be good for you. That's why they are so convincing in their reasoning and their argument, and perhaps including its subtlety. And perhaps that's the reason why so many all over the world in the billions have succumbed, and they are now singing his tune, promoting his agenda, fighting his battle, and they don't even know it. But you are supposed to know it because you have been delivered from his army, and you have now put aside the garment of the army of the devil, and you have put on another garment. The garment of the devil is known as the garment of sin, the garment of your new general, the Lord Jesus Christ, is called the garment of righteousness. He gave it to every one of his soldiers because that garment of sin was put on him and it was crucified and it was done away. And now he has replaced that with the garment of righteousness. And now he begins to equip you with his weaponry, step by step, step by step, just as what the devil did when you were first born of your human father and mother. Now that you are born again in Christ, you now have to unlearn before you could learn what you need to prepare yourself to fight God's battle. The real soldiers. You were once a soldier of the devil, but now you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are truly born again in Christ, it's not an option. The moment you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, you wear many hats, and these hats are all found in Holy Scriptures. They're all there. We all have many different portfolios. Just as the devil had many titles, God had many titles, we all also have many titles, and these are all different portfolios, different hats that you have to wear. And this morning, we are going to focus on the garment of a soldier. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you wake up, you have to bear that in mind about yourself. You're not just waking up aimlessly, feeling nothing, going to school, facing only the problem of your studies. You go to work, you face the problems of whatever profession that you're facing. If you are a doctor, you face the problem of sick people. You are an engineer, you face the problem of sick buildings. If you are a teacher, a bus driver, or whatever your profession is, please understand that you are going into these arenas. They are all battlefields. They all belong to the God of this world, and you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not consciously make yourself aware of this, you're going to become a casualty. You're not going to be on guard. You're not going to be careful. You're just simply go in there, relax. Imagine going into the battleground thinking that it is the playground. Any soldier who thinks that is doomed, is dead even before he gets out of the house, he gets out of bed. You know that because the enemies are all around you. Who are the enemies, you may say? Well, the real location, we have already touched on that. The location will be everywhere you go, no exception. Because the location is spiritual. When you are at home, it's also a spiritual location. At work, in school, anywhere, everywhere you go, in church, it's a spiritual location. It's invisible to the eyes. That's why the Bible is clear. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, wrestling means contact. The word wrestling means you fight until you throw down the enemy. That's the nature of wrestling, right? That's where the word wrestling is used, not boxing. Boxing, you knock the person out. Wrestling means you're always in contact. You struggle, he struggles, you struggle, he struggles, and the ultimate goal is who is on top, who is below. If you are on top, you win. If the enemy is on top of you, you lose. That's wrestling. And that is how God wants you and me to look at your struggle at home as a housewife, a struggle at home as you go to school. They are more than just struggling to take tests, pass exams, struggle to remember your subjects, your facts, your science, your arts, whatever it is. It's not just some struggle against how to give the right medicine to this patient, to this sickness. It's always spiritual because the location is spiritual. It may be on earth, it may be flesh and blood. And that's why the Bible tells us you wrestle not against flesh and blood. How do we know it's spiritual? Because the previous two verses, 10 and 11, tell us that you need strength from the Lord to win. You have to put on the whole armor of God to win. And this armor of God itself, it's spiritual, is described for us in the next few verses after verse 12. And that's how we know that the location of your battle is not flesh and blood. You may be on this earth, but the battle is not on this earth. It's invisible. It's outside of this earth. It's in another dimension. For example, one moment you may be at peace, you and your wife may be on very good terms. And you and I know that suddenly that good terms can turn sour instantaneously because of a raised voice, because of a short temper, impatience, something irritated you, and you spoke a word out of turn, and that's it. You thought that it was a moment of tranquility, a moment of peace, and then within the snap of a finger, pop, it's gone. You're now suddenly faced with a relationship that is now tensed, very tense. And all you need right there and then is for the first person, you or your wife, to say, I am sorry. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. But nobody wants to make the first move. What stands in your way? Your pride. You mean the residual influence and impact of the world continue to sway me? Yes. As long as you and I serve the Lord in this flesh, the residual impact of the evil one that has been controlling you all your life until the day of your salvation. You think you would just simply be erased and forgotten? Not so simple. It can only be erased and be completely forgotten when you are given a new body, the glorified body, the resurrected body. But until that day comes, while you are on this earth, you may handle, taste, and see and touch all the things of the world. But remember, it is not flesh and blood that you are fighting, wrestling against, in contact with. You know about contact. Contact has a very, very strange influence. The closer you are, the greater the influence of that contact. The farther you are, the weaker the influence. But that's the nature of contact, isn't it? That which is closest to us will have the greatest impact in your life and in my life. And that's why whenever you think that it is flesh and blood, it is so close to us that we can't see the spiritual. I remember this illustration from one of the sermons that Spurgeon spoke. I read it, of course. And that illustration may help us here to understand the influence of contact. The sun is far greater and far more powerful and far more brilliant than the moon. But it is so far away. The moon is so much nearer to Earth. And so the impact and the influence of the moon over the waves of the ocean is so much greater than that of the sun. Even though the sun is so much bigger than the moon, so much more brighter and more brilliant than the moon, but the moon was much closer, and therefore the impact and the influence upon the oceans on Earth is so much more powerful and so much greater. Heaven is so much bigger, so much brighter, so much more glorious than this earth. And yet, because we are living on this earth, the earth is so much nearer than us, that the brightness and the glory of heaven itself that we have been revealed, that have been revealed to us in Holy Scriptures, its impact and influence is so much weaker, isn't it? Of course, one day when the Lord takes us home, when we are standing in the streets of gold, then the impact and influence of the new heaven and new earth will be at its greatest, isn't it? Because we are closest to heaven. We're standing in Jerusalem on the streets of gold. But until then, the world is nearer in that sense. And we have to be aware of its influence because of its proximity. The moment we forget that, we are going to be influenced and we will be ignorant of it. And we will become an agent of the devil. And if you think that will not happen, you remember what Jesus said in his rebuke to his beloved disciple, Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Do you remember that? It's always a spiritual warfare. Because the location is not on this earth. The spiritual battle is outside. It's invisible to the naked eye. We can't see it. You know, of every part of us, that part that the Lord will not keep as well is our body. Do you know that? That part of the body where the Lord allow us to feel hurt and pain is our body. Do you know that? Our physical body, that part of our being. Remember Philippians 4, 6, and 7, teaching us how we need to pray with thanksgiving, whatever happens. And then the last part of verse 7, do you remember what it says? May the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered why not keep our body and our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus? Of course, Philippians was another prison epistle, and Paul was in prison, just as he was in the same prison, the same time period when he gave us Ephesians. The body was incarcerated. The body will soon be killed. The body had suffered so much pain and abuse and persecution. But the mind and the heart, the Lord says, my peace will keep it safe, will guard it. But the body, that part of our being, is the part that the Lord protects the least. Not that he doesn't protect. I mean, we can see his protection in so many ways, like in the case of Daniel and his three friends. The fiery furnace did not burn them, and the lion did not eat up Daniel. Sure, there are instances where the body was preserved and kept because our time on earth in service was not over yet. But you and I know that there had been thousands and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of God's servants where they have been martyred. This body will be dissolved, will die. That's why it is the least part of our being that the Lord protect. And so you will suffer diseases, sickness, like this virus, this pandemic. It's a spiritual battle. You know that, right? When you are stricken with cancer, with whatever sickness, flu, fever, running nose, and these may slow down, may even cripple your service, your witness. But it's a spiritual battle. You face your exam. It's a spiritual battle. You go to work, your job, your projects, all these will have challenges. It's a spiritual battle. That's why the Lord says, pray without ceasing, because you are never outside of a spiritual battle. That's why you have to pray without ceasing. The moment the Lord says, well, now you can stop praying. Well, that's when you arrive home in heaven. That is really home. It's no longer a battleground. But as long as you're on this earth, please see beyond the three-dimensional. You are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle that you are facing. the real soldiers, the real location, and now the real enemies. The real enemies. The Bible described them in very, very powerful terms, principalities. That's a word that describes powerful people, chiefs or rulers, principalities. Could be your unbelieving parents, could be your despotic leaders, could be your boss, could be your teachers in school, could be the bully, could be anyone who has some form or way to control your life. That's principalities. Like the principal of a school, principalities, a ruler that dictate terms, give you rules and regulations that control your behavior and conduct. And the Bible is clear. Any rule or behavior or conduct that does not contravene the word of God, we find. We will obey, not only because we do not want to get caught or be punished, but for conscience sake, we obey. But whenever it comes to what God has commanded us to do, and now the principal or the principalities wants to tell us to do it in another way, that it becomes a conflict. And we have to choose the side of Christ according to scriptures and not that principality, that principal, that ruler, that chief. We have to, because it's a spiritual battle, because the moment we succumb and obey the voice of the principality rather than the voice of my Savior, then I have lived in sin. And when I live in sin, the image of Christ that I bear will be compromised. And not only that, these principalities, they have powers, and that's authorities, government authorities. And you and I have understood this kind of power, and they are not visible, but they are there. Sure, they are being enforced by soldiers, by people that carry guns and weapons of war that can kill the body, but they can't touch the soul, because the real battle is spiritual, not physical. Spiritual all the time. And that's why these powers, you can see the power, but you know, and you and I know it's there. It's always hanging over our heads. And now with this pandemic, you now have tasted the global power that never existed before until the world entered into the internet age. And now with internet, you literally have the world in your hands, in the palm of your hands, and that's called a phone. Literally, you can listen to this sermon any part of the world as long as there is Wi-Fi. You know that, right? You know, that was an impossibility 50, 60 years ago. Nobody could even imagine that such a world that we're living in right now could ever exist in such a short period of time of about 5 or 6 decades. That the world has evolved to such a global stage where the influence of one man can have such a global grasp. World Health Organization leader. He says, put on masks, we put on masks. He says, safe distance, 1 meter apart, 1 meter apart. Sure, some will rebel, some will have all this conspiracy theory and so on, but you can see and understand the global impact. And that is only one side of the globe, health. What about trade, World Trade Organization? The entire economy of the world is in the hands of a handful of individuals. They dictate and they decide. You can work hard in your company, and your company may be worth a few million of dollars, but in comparison to the power that these few individuals have, your company can be turned into bankruptcy literally overnight. It's not your fault. You have not done anything wrong. But they can just simply enforce what they call the economic sanction. And you are done for. If your company is in that country that they want to sanction, you are done for. It's only a matter of time where you will become bankrupt. And no matter how hard you work, it's not going to make a difference. An economic sanction, you and I know, can only work if the whole world's economy is intertwined. If it is not intertwined, your economic sanction has no influence over mine. But since my economy depends on the economy of the rest of the world, therefore, my economy is now at your mercy because you are bigger than me. You see the influence, you see the impact, you see the powers. So you have health powers, economic powers, and of course, political powers, and also religious powers. The ecumenical movement, it's in control. Of course, there will be the remnant as God has assured us and promised us, but they control, whether you like it or not, they control the religions of the world. Sure, there will be little bits of resistance here and there, and that's why the Bible described the control of the Antichrist is iron and clay. It will not have one absolute power control like the Caesars in the time of the Roman Empire. But he will come from Rome, Europe, but his influence will be not as united because it is iron and clay mixed together. As you can see, there will still be a little nation here, a little nation there that will not disagree, will not agree, but it is real. It is real, the real enemies. And against rulers, and the word rulers here describe world rulers, including the devil and demons, and it's plural, world rulers, Antichrist, the false prophet, they are all included, and they ruled in the darkness of this world. That's why the location is not flesh and blood, it's invisible, it's spiritual. And against spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness, the agenda is to destroy your spiritual life. And they can. The moment you and I fall into sin, out of fear, out of our love for temptations, luxury goods, the good life, either way, the devil wins. We succumb either through threats or through seduction. The moment we succumb, either way, we fall. And once we fall, our spiritual witness for Christ is damaged. And that's his goal. He can't take away your salvation as long as you're truly born again in Christ. He knows that. He was not trying to take away your salvation. He may make you doubt it if your understanding of God's word is weak. But he will take away your holy witness for Christ. That he will never stop doing until you die. And that's where the real battle is. The real soldiers, I hope you are on the Lord's side. The real location, not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It's invisible to the naked eyes. And so when you quarrel, when you struggle with a difficult subject, or when you are sick, or when you are faced with some challenges in your workplace, remember to pray. Remember how you react and respond. It's going to be key, crucial. You respond like Christ, you win the battle. You respond according to the old self, you lose, the devil wins. The real battle with real soldiers, the real location, and the real enemies is not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your son, it's not your daughter, it's not the virus. The real enemies is the devil. And these are all the tools of the devil. You mean a Christian can become a tool of the devil, a pawn of the devil? Yes, when we are selfish, like Peter. He became a tool of the devil. He was very selfish. He wanted Jesus to stay. But Jesus already told them, I have to do the Father's will. No, do Peter's will. Peter says you stay. That's why get thee behind me, Satan. Do not become an enemy of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by living in sin, by your self-centered and selfish desires and motive. Pray without ceasing. That's why it is always a battle that we face. This morning, it's a battle. The moment I wake up, the battle begins. The moment I lay down to sleep, the battle is in hiatus. The moment I wake up, the battle begins. My home is a battleground. Everywhere I go is a battleground. Your walk with the Lord in itself is also a battleground. The spiritual realm, that's why we struggle to read the Bible, we struggle to pray, we struggle to study the Bible, because it's a battleground. Why do people drag their feet when it comes to studying the Bible, and they just simply enjoy and rush when it is a barbecue? You invite them to come for prayer meeting. No, cannot. They make excuses. You ask them to, let's come for my son's birthday party. Sure, what time, when? I will be there. Why one hesitation, the other one no hesitation? The other one brings great delight because you think it's just simply a matter of flesh and blood. It's a party. It's a time to play. It's a time to relax. Is there ever a time to play and a time to relax? You are never out of the battleground because you are never, never asked by the Lord to take off the armor of God, the garment of righteousness. You always have it on. Put on. That's the passage that we have just looked at, one verse. You ever find the word put off? No, only put on. You don't take it off. You keep it on by prayer all the time. Because your enemy could be anyone in your life that you have a misunderstanding with. That person could be your enemy. And the only way to fix it is to repent and apologize by the mercies and the humility of Christ. Let us protect the unity that we have in Christ by seeking forgiveness and by having a heart that is always ready to forgive, because it is a battle that we are fighting every moment of every day. And the enemies are all around us, invisible to the naked eyes. And you are a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ until you arrive home in glory. And you will become only a child of God in heaven, at home with your Heavenly Father. Until then, while you are serving and witnessing on this earth, the battle rages on. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for keeping us safe, for keeping us in the faith. We thank Thee for keeping us in health despite this global pandemic. It is by Your grace and Your mercies that You have watched over our physical well-being. But it is also by Your grace and Your mercies that You have watched over our spiritual well-being. Help us therefore, O Lord, never to keep our guard down, but to pray without ceasing, for we are never out of the battlefield with the armor of God on all the time. Wherever we are, may we fight the good fight of faith and win every battle that the Lord placed in front of us, whether it is a sickness, whether it is a relationship, whether it is a circumstance, whatever it is. May we submit to Thy holy will, seeking only to exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for He must increase and we must decrease in our witness for Him, so that by our good works, the people around us will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. And one day, at the end of this battle, may we all arrive home in glory and stand before Thee accepted as Thy blood-bought children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.